How many of you have heard the book of James referred to as the epistle of straw? Protestants seem to like the phrase. Do you know where it originated? The preface of the original 1534 Lutheran Bible that Martin Luther published and arranged had these words: "If I had to do without one or the other, the works or preaching of Christ, I'd rather do without his works than his preaching. For the works do not help me, but his words give life, as he himself says." Now, John writes very little about the works of Christ, but very much about his preaching. Other evangelists write much about his works and little of his preaching. Therefore, John's gospel is the one tender, true, chief gospel, far to be preferred to as the other three and placed high above them. So, too, the epistles of St. Paul and St. Peter far surpass the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In a word, St. John's Gospel and his first epistle, St. Paul's epistles, especially Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians, and St. Peter's first epistle are the books that show you Christ and that teach you all that is necessary and good for you to know. Even though you never see or hear any other book or doctrine, therefore, St. James' epistle is really an epistle of straw compared to them, for it has nothing of the nature of its gospel in it. Later, this is the Lutheran Bible translations after the first one admitted this. Martin Luther took it upon himself the authority to rate the books of the Bible, even claiming at one point that the book of James was not the work of an apostle and that it contradicted other writings on grace, such as in Ephesians 2:8, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not by yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Some say the writings of Paul and the book of James cannot be reconciled, that they say the opposite of each other. We all know that 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we know that that can't be true. The portion they take exception to in James is James 2:14 through 26. If you'll turn there, we'll take a look at that. In 14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you know not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Verse 18, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.'" Verse 19, "You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect?" In verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see then that the man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? As for the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Over the years, lots of groups have accused us of being a works church and that we teach your works give you salvation. They see works as missionary work or going to a poor country and digging a well. While these can be a part of doing the work of God and of good deeds, the keeping of the law is the most integral part. We must show love toward fellow man and towards God to be whole. 1 John 2:4 tells us that he who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and his truth is not in him. Paul said he would not have known sin except for the law in Romans 7:7, and makes it clear he is speaking of the commandments. Then later it is written in 1 John 3:4 that sin is lawlessness. Anyone teaching the law is done away, we see as teaching lawlessness. You don't have to turn there, but in Jude 1:3-4, Jude wrote, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept into unawareness, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, or however you say that, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And the word lasciviousness comes from alsegia, which means disregarding, accepting rules or conventions. Alsegia is used several times in the New Testament to mean unbridled sexual immorality. Commentators feel Jude was speaking of turning away from what had been the accepted practices of the church. The Revised Standard Version of the Bible translates it as licentiousness, or a license to sin. Kind of almost sounds like a James Bond movie. They were already fighting that early in the church against the teachings that grace sets you free from keeping the commandments. If you'll turn to Revelation 14. Turn to Revelation 14 and verse 12. It says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." This shows the continuance of the keeping of the commandments right up to the return of Christ. When you hear someone say that James's epistle is straw, you can be pretty sure they are saying they want no part of the commandments, and that they are denying the grace of Christ if you teach the keeping of the law. They say Christ has done it all, and that is needed from him, from us, is faith in Christ. If you'll turn to Romans 3:31, Romans 3:31, "Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." So this shows here that Paul and James really are on the same page. Keeping the law and faith go hand in hand. Grace is pardon for evil deeds already committed. You cannot uncommit them. You can either pay the penalty, or you can be pardoned. We all deserve the penalty of the second death, which is for all eternity, but the grace of God, through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, lifts the penalty. He paid the ransom for our lives with his own blood. The one thing grace does not do is relieve us of our obligation to go and sin no more. Mr. Jackson.